Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Off with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays over there, but if you get the opportunity, you should just swing by to see what the heck else is going on over there. So you get the opportunity to do that. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with Freed.
So, all right. Well, you know what's weird, Dan, is you had mentioned it to me yesterday, and I actually forgot to tell everybody that we celebrated our 6-year anniversary yesterday here at Sports Time Radio. Yeah, six long years of us talking to each other on the phone. Congratulations to us.
In the first year, you picked the Giants to win the World Series, and they did.
Yay. But you know, I figured we would start out, Dan. Could you why don't you tell us a little about your Saturday experience making the trip to South Bend and Four Winds Field and all that fun stuff?
Well, I figured since you were giving away all my picks of the week, I thought we were going there first.
Yeah, well, I'm typing them as you do that, so you can tell us about Four Winds Field, and then I can do your picks.
Well, you already did them, so it kind of fits the purpose.
Emailing them. I'm tweeting them out to our public, Dan. So.
Yeah, I know. They're supposed to listen first and then get them. But anyways, I went to South Bend for the Single-A Cubs affiliate, South Bend Cubs, to open up their season on Saturday. What can I say besides it was cold? And it was a little too cold for baseball, to be honest with you. But, I mean, the stadium's made some improvements. I don't know if you remember out there in left field, where next to the picnic area, which is where I was hanging out. We got the picnic seats and the free buffet for a couple hours, free drinks, and actually got a couple hats for free, the 47 brand, so got one for my wife and my daughter, and then fortunately there was a fire pit. We sat by there, but we ended up leaving after the seventh inning because it was just, we couldn't take it anymore. But you know, they improved. They added some more, like, I don't want to call them bleachers, but in left field they have the you know, the single seats, but you have your bench top, so you can, you know, put your food on. And adding those seating was actually pretty cool. You know, like Chris Hagstrom mentioned, that they moved the inflatables into the corner. So it's not in the outfield anymore. So, you know, the players don't get, you know, a big bonus for hitting a home run into one of the inflatables. But, you know, they didn't take it away. And, you know, the people who did have kids, they brought them. And they were running around in there like crazy for a couple hours. So minor league game. You're an adult with kids and you want to go to a game that's, you know, definitely a little bit more inexpensive than the pro team that actually has something for the kids to do, this is where you go. The only downside with the buffet was, you know, hamburgers and hot dogs, but they had no pickles. That was my, but you know, I'm a pickle guy. I load them up on both of them. So that was my only disappointment, was no pickles. I'll have to let Chris know. They need to have pickles always.
they
have to. Yeah, What I thought, what I, you know, taking away from the experience and kind of getting to be with the fans as opposed to in the press booth and hanging out in a little bit more warmer situation, you know, with the loyalty that the team has down there. You know, it wasn't a complete sellout. I'm sure if we had better weather, it would have been sold out. But the loyalty with the fans there, I thought that was pretty cool. You know, so that, and it's something that team brings to that area. And, you know, aside from, you know, I still see a lot of Notre Dame stuff, but, you know, the fact that they come out, they support the team, you know, I think that's one of the coolest things. But, you know, and then we were given free beer, 2 coupons, and I don't drink, and my wife just couldn't do it. So, you know, we made a couple people happy by giving away 3 of our tickets. So, no sense in taking them home with us. Might as well, you know, spread the love, so to speak. So, you know, the one guy looked at me, he was like, "Oh, really?" I'm like, "Yeah, we're going to be leaving soon. And so here, you know, you got to take them, enjoy." But, you know, again, I think overall, you know, it reminded me kind of our independent wrestling league scene to a point, where I think this scene is a lot more, what's the word I'm looking for, Big Jack? A little more civilized, I guess you could say.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that would be probably a good word there. Yeah.
I don't want to insult the indie wrestling fans, but let's just put it that way. So it was a good time. You know, it'll definitely be a lot better when we make our trip down there this summer, weather-wise, not game-wise. But, you know, I think the South Bend Cubs won. I, you know, caught the highlights later on. It was a fun game. In retrospect, from my house, roughly an hour and a half. It wasn't a horrible drive. You know, and then with the time change, you get that hour back. So,
well, that's
I mean, all in all, it was a good time. You know, and I mean, even if you're closer to the Indiana border, you know, from Chicago, an hour ride, I think it's definitely worth the trip to go down there, especially this summer when it's nice out. You have kids. I mean, everyone I know that has kids that's a Cubs fan, I keep pushing them to go out there because it's definitely worth it.
Well, that's good. So we have a positive review.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to check in on Yelp, so.
All right. Well, since you yelled at me, do you want to unveil? I'm trying to remember how do we start? Is it AL hitter? We start with. You want to start there?
Yeah. Well, we'll go with AL hitter. I mean, the AL had a pretty good week this week. I mean, their hitters were really on top and all over everything. By far and away, I think the best. Next to Shohei Ohtani, was Didi Gregorius. I mean, this guy was in, you know, 6 games last week, 18 at bats, crossed the plate 7 times, hit 8 runs, or hit the ball 8 times with 3 doubles and 3 home runs. So he only had 2 singles, 9 RBIs, 7 walks, and only 2 strikeouts. He had 2 stolen bases. You know, for the week, his average was .444, and his slugging was 1.111. I mean, you know, fantasy-wise, you're going week to week like that. I know you stole him from me, another one of my guys on one of your teams, but I know he had to completely positively impact you. Did that, you know, did he help boost your give your team a boost this week?
Do I have him on a team?
Which team did
do I have him on? I must have. If I have him, it's in the it's the Mickey Mouse league we're in, because I don't have him in either of the Yahoo leagues.
Oh. Possibly. You know, the AL hitter of the week. And, you know, it's funny because I don't know how they rank them, so I'm just kind of going by what I see overall. You know, I don't have a huge algorithm yet. I'm waiting for my wife to get better at data analysis so we can start putting together that stuff for the Sports Time radio trackers and, you know, all that good stuff. But Didi was ranked 6th overall last week. My next guy in the NL was ranked 11th overall. I felt like he put together the best overall performance last week, especially for only being in 4 games. Still had 16 at-bats, crossed the plate 4 times, gave you 6 runs or 6 hits, a double, a triple, 2 home runs, 10 RBIs. He only walked once, but he only struck out twice. So he put up a 375 average, and his slugging was 938. So, I mean, all in all, I don't know. I think both these players had, you know, really great weeks. Obviously, Didi had the better week. But, you know, if you had these guys on your team, that really kind of helped put you over the edge a little bit. Going into pitching, hands down, you know, even though he was only one game, Shohei Ohtani gets the nod. One game, seven innings, only gave up one hit. He only walked one, and he struck out 12. You know, his opponent's batting average was .45. I mean, this guy has a zero ERA this week. So I don't know why they didn't have both games in there. I didn't even think about that till right now, to be honest with you. So, you know, again, solid week for Ohtani. And then he was actually ranked number two. But, you know, I look over everything and try to stay in the zone. And I didn't mean to pick number one, but I think it's Jameson Taillon from Pittsburgh. He went 2-0 this week, 1.26 ERA. I started two games, obviously, with 14.1 innings. He only gave up five hits, 200 runs, one home run. He only walked two, but he struck out 16. And, I mean, I just, you know, felt like, especially coming from a team that's not supposed to win, you know, he performed greatly for that team last week. And, you know, you don't really win it in April, but you completely lose it in April. So, you know, giving the Pirates those extra wins, you know, may give them some hope.
Yes, it should.
Now, you know, Sunday. Now, you know, with baseball for both of us, the weekends, you know, definitely. I try to consume definitely a lot more of all. I know you do also. Were you able to take in the Phillies Marlins game or the Oakland game, Oakland versus Angels?
Yeah, I got to see quite a bit. I got to see quite a bit of Ohtani's start. You know, what was weird is, like, I didn't really go out of my way to look for it or anything, but it just, wherever I was, it just kept coming up. So I was finally like, okay, I guess I'll just check it out. So, yeah, I ended up just seeing a ton of him. You know, they were on it, and you know, a lot of it was through the MLB network. So as you can guess, you know, Brian Kenny was basically, you know, spanking his monkey on air for it, which was kind of humorous, because yeah, he was just like, oh, you know, this is the greatest guy, and somebody actually called him they said that Mike Trout is now the second best player on the Angels. So as you can tell, they're getting a little carried away with this. But yeah, it was just like, really? So.
Yeah. I mean, you're such an Ohtani hater.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, well, you know, he's, you know, to me, I mean, he's still got a lot to prove. He's made two starts, both against the A's, you know, I mean, let's see him do it against a different team. You know, I mean, I'm not buying anybody right now. You know, this far into the season, I mean, you know, why should I jump all over it here? I mean, he had a great outing. You know, I'm not going to deny him that. But, you know, I mean, I think Taillon had a better one, and nobody's talking about him. You know, he had a complete game shutout. Nobody does that anymore. You know, and you wouldn't know it, because, you know, his name doesn't even get a passing mention in what goes on. You know, and I know not only did you pick him as your player of the week, but some other ones did. I saw MLB.com had him as their guy, you know, with Ohtani. But, you know, they're not going to mention him. It's going to be all, oh, look what, you know, Ohtani's doing this, and he's the greatest player. You know, nobody's ever done this before. And it's like, you know, he's made two starts. Right. He doesn't even start every 5 days, you know, because he can't handle it. So...
Well, no, that's because he's hitting for four of those days.
Well, no, I think he only hits 3 days out of the week. So, Oh, it's just the way they do it. But I mean, I always hate when they try to, cram this guy down my face. And I know they get all excited about it, and it's like, oh my God, look at this guy, and he's the next this or the next that. But we've heard that how many times? And again, it's a lot like the situation I had with those fantasy idiots. When they're wrong, these guys don't man up. They run away from it like, oh, I never said that. What are you talking about? Oh, that wasn't me. That must have been somebody else on the network who was, blowing his trumpet like that. And I was like, yeah, okay, just go away. So.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason I stay off the networks, and I basically stick to MLB.TV for all my news and sources. But over the, on Sunday, with Jake Arrieta's start coming up, Sunday morning, I was driving around and back and forth, and I had our local one on, and they actually had, I believe, a beat reporter from Philly, and they were talking about the not so welcoming manager, as do the fans. And now I can't remember his name. Is it like Gabe or something, with the Phillies, who took Aaron Nola out of the game way early, because it's the first game of the year and he wants to save him. And regardless of what goes on, he's just going to take a guy out. He's basically employing the Steven Strasburg, theory. And that, of course, I'm referring to is when the Nationals had him back, but completely shut him down in the playoffs, and they went nowhere. So it's interesting how that's going to get along. But to mention what was asked of Jake Arrieta beforehand was, how he would feel if he was taken out after 70 pitches or so, and he went 68, I think it was, and was gone by after the fourth inning. So I mean, he had a little hiccup in the first inning, but part of that due is also to the lack of defense to kind of help put guys on and move shift guys around. Maybe he needed the lesser of a start, but I think he could have went full five, six innings. I don't know, what was your take on it? I thought it was a little early. I actually tuned in the fourth inning on Sunday. He wasn't pitching, so I just turned it off.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I turned the game on a little later. I think I ended up picking it up about the sixth, and he was gone. And I was like, because I know, he was saying himself he was talking about 100 pitches. And yeah, I think he ended up going, it was right around 70. I don't remember the exact number. I could probably, hunt it down, if I wanted. But I was trying to remember, like I know he gave up 3 runs, but only 2 were earned. And they were still kind of, he kept them in the game. And that's, I was a little surprised that, he kind of got the hook there, and it was just like, oh, okay. But, this is apparently the kind of manager that Gabe Kapler is going to be. And I mean, he'll fit right in with all these other guys who are afraid to let their pitcher stay out there. I mean, he's not any different than any other, pretty much manager in the game right now. That's why I said it was just such a, a huge thing for Taillon to go 9 innings yesterday. I mean, that's a miracle in this day and age. I'm surprised they didn't panic and run away from it. But I think didn't the Phillies, did they? No, they never did come back to tie it, did they? They just kind of
No,
it
we
kind
didn't.
of or no they. It was tied at 3 when Arrieta left, so he ends up getting the no decision. He ended up throwing 74 pitches. So yeah, I think he probably could have went another inning. I don't know where they were, and did they pinch hit for him? Is that what happened? Or yeah, it looks like he
I
was
don't
pinch
even.
hit for. So I'm guessing his spot just came up in the order, and they decided to make the change.
Yeah, I mean,
So,
pretty ridiculous, to be honest with you. I thought it was just stupid.
yeah, and I mean,
Kind of
I,
spring training.
in a way, I understood it because it's his first outing, But yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's a veteran pitcher who's been through all this stuff. I really think you gotta let him go back out there and, you know, give it a shot. But, you know, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was cold out, so I don't, you know, I actually watched the condensed game version, which shows you a lot more than, you know, just the highlights. So I was, you know, tuning in a little bit more. He looked really good. His pitches were on, you know, velocity up, velocity down. I don't really care. He was hitting location. And to me, that means more for a pitcher than velocity. Unless you're throwing 60 miles an hour, then obviously I don't even think you'd be in single A anymore because those boys were throwing pretty hard down there Saturday. I hope, you know, for him, you know, and I'm not his biggest fan, so I think coming from me, it's most biased, but it was disappointing to see him being taken out that long. But, you know, the weather, like you mentioned, the first outing, it is what it is. And, you know, hopefully he gets the gun, you know, gets to go in there a little bit longer and show what he has, you know, throughout the season.
Yeah, I'll be interested, you know, really to see the next start and how long they let him pitch. You know, just one of those things. But yeah, I mean, for a first outing, I was just kind of like, you know, it was kind of like you said, it was a little more disappointing than anything else because I don't get I don't get the new trend here, you know, and I know they were even talking while Ohtani was cruising along how long they would leave him in because, you know, his pitch total was starting to add up and it was like, okay, well, when do we go to the bullpen here with this, you know, how long before they, you know, they have to go get this guy. And it's just like, man, we just do not let people pitch anymore. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's just how it goes. So. You know, it's like you start a game and the first, you know, the first thing they want to know is, hey, when are you taking him out? You know, nothing else matters. Just when's he coming out of the game? So.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the things I like about the fact that the CBA didn't allow for a roster expansion. You know, because can you imagine it would be, you know, let's just add three more players. They would all be pitchers.
Yeah. Exactly. It would all be bullpen guys.
You know, 10 batters and the rest pitchers.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember who it is because, you know, I end up going through a lot of games, but I was watching one game where they were talking about they only had three position players on the bench. Everything else they were carrying was pitchers. So they were carrying like 12 or 13 pitchers. And it was just like, really? Why, you know, what the hell's going to go on here that you need to carry, you know, I mean, how unconfident are you in your starting rotation that you need to carry this many guys? That's ridiculous that, you know, if your starters are that bad, you might as well just not even play the season, you know, cause you're not going to beat anybody. So, you know, just go home now.
We concede.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like, really? So.
No,
but
before I get into the... No.
Well, no, I was going to say, oddly, we had, you know, I thought it was kind of a strange situation here in our Chicagoland area today. You know, the Cubs were scheduled for their home opener today, which they postponed. But the White Sox were also playing at home. And they played. So I thought that was kind of weird. Now, they did end up losing 5-4 to the Tampa Bay Rays. Fantasy-wise, Chris Archer got you. Have him. Miguel Gonzalez took the loss, and Alex Colomé picked up his second save of the season. That was just a little baffling for me. I mean, one team plays and the other one doesn't. How the heck they worked that one out?
Well, I was told that it stopped snowing, raining on the south side 90 minutes before it did on the north side. And then,
oh, okay.
I guess
because they're closer to the equator.
Well, I guess the other side of it is because actually the Sox game was supposed to be at 7 o'clock tonight. They bumped it up to 1 o'clock. But the other side of it is the Cubs technically have off tomorrow, so the game's going to be played tomorrow. And then Tampa's not coming back to Chicago, and they really don't have room for a makeup this season.
Another makeup.
Yeah, so I mean they would have had to have done a doubleheader tomorrow. And obviously, with this kind of weather, you don't want to do doubleheaders. So it was more logistics than it was.
I think they should play doubleheaders.
Yeah. but since you did bring up,
you know, they moved the White Sox game ahead for better weather, so that worked out well.
Well, I mean, like I said, it stopped raining slash snowing up down there before it did up north, so it did work out for them. I was listening for a while. But, you know, you brought up the White Sox, and the one thing that just killed me this morning is the local guys, the White Sox fans, you know, the ones that only talk about Cubs now because that's what their radio station entails, are just over the wall, upset, and talking about how horrible this team is. And there was one game where they got blown out. And they don't have the best record, but it's only April. I mean, what can you really see? You know, they're expecting Yoan Moncada to go out there and be an all-star MVP already, mainly because, you know, the Boston Red Sox paid upwards of $30-plus million to bring him into their organization, which now the White Sox have. I mean, what is your take on this team? I'm still excited. I'm not even a White Sox fan. I'm excited to see them play or listen to them when I can because I think they're going to be fun. You know, for the next couple of years, but I mean, what is with the just downright killing the team before they've even had a chance to get their stuff together?
Yeah, you know, that oddly seems to be the new way people go when it comes to stuff. You know, like yesterday, you know, I thought Ronaldo Lopez had a really good start. He didn't walk too many guys, you know, he struck out five, but he walked five, so that's not the kind of ratio you were looking for. You know, the problem with this team is the bullpen is going to stink, and it's going to cost them games because there's just nobody out there. I think you and Joachim Soria are the exact same age, and he's closing for the White Sox. So, you know, that kind of, you know, sets you up there a little bit on how that's going. Danny Farquhar, I think, has been released by, you know, three or four teams, and now he's their main setup guy. So, you know, you start adding these things in, and that equals a lot of blown leads and a lot of lost games. And the important thing is just kind of seeing, you know, how Lucas Giolito comes along and how, you know, Ronaldo Lopez and Carson Fulmer, like you mentioned, you know, Moncada, who I know was 2-for-2 the last time I checked in on the game. I don't know what he finished today. But, you know, I mean, You got to get these guys playing time. You got to go through these growing pains. I mean, the Astros and the Cubs both did it. You know, this is how they got to where they are. So, you know, now it's the White Sox turn, and if they make good decisions, you know, they'll be that team in 2-3 years, hopefully. I mean, that's how baseball goes now, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I brought it up last year that, you know, they should be on pace next, you know, if not this season, next season. But, you know, like you said, it takes just a little bit longer than 1 year. I think the names they had and what they were doing last year towards the end, even I got a little too excited about. But I don't know, it was just amazing to me that the guys who actually root for the team were so negative on them. But then again, you know, that's, I don't know, is that how I found it when it came to the Cubs, or I mean, I felt like I was more annoyed with the quote, the process.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, obviously the Carlos Rodon injury really set them. You know, he looked like he was on his way to being a potential ace. And, you know, now you got to kind of wonder, you know, is he going to be that guy when he finally gets back? You know, so that kind of hurts you. You know, I mean, there's a lot of prospects in this system that are supposed to be fantastic, but, you know, the key word there is prospects. I mean, you look at the rebuilds going on. Milwaukee's went really well, and they were a gigantic surprise contender last year. You know, in that same division, the Reds have been rebuilding now for 3 years, and they don't look anywhere close. The White Sox look like they're farther along than the Reds, and this is the White Sox second year. So, yeah. You know, you got to kind of question what goes on there. You know, the Padres are kind of in that same boat. It seems like they're constantly rebuilding. You know, they had that 1 year where they went for it all and they traded for everybody and their brother and then blew it up because it didn't work. And, you know, now they're back to the rebuild, and this is year like three of that, I think. So you just got to kind of hope you're making good choices. And I mean, I really think these teams need to, you know, if you're rebuilding, you've got to have scouts that really know what they're talking about, you know, with between the international guys and then college guys and, you know, how you're working your draft and, you know, what minor leaguers you can target in trades. I mean, you need guys that are on it. And if you don't have those guys, or if a guy makes a mistake, man, it sets you back. You know what I mean? I'm beginning to wonder, you know, I watched a little of the Reds game yesterday when Tyon was mowing them down because I had Joey Votto in my FanDuel lineup, and they don't look anywhere close. I mean, I mentioned they're in year three. They could still be 5 years away from being even a contender for a wild card. I mean, you're looking at like an 8 to 10 year rebuild with that team. And that's just ridiculous.
And they wonder why the opening day shenanigans were, you know, kind of disbanded.
Yeah. Well, you know, just one of those weird things, you know, that kind of go on. But I want to run over the other games here before they all get up and rolling around. We do have one game that started. The Tigers are at the Indians. It's nothing in the bottom of the fourth. And Francisco Liriano has yet to give up. Yeah, the Bears. Oh, that was Ferris Bueller, right?
Uh-huh.
So, Francisco Liriano has yet to give up a hit for those four innings, so we'll see how that goes. We've got the Mariners at the Royals, with Marco Gonzalez against Jacob Junis. I guess he's not Jake anymore. The Brewers are at the Cardinals. It's Julius Chacin against Miles Mikolas. The Blue Jays at the Orioles. It's J.A. Hop against Dylan Bundy. The Braves at the Nationals. Julio Teheran against Max Scherzer. The Reds at the Phillies. It's Cody Reed against Ben Lively. The Mets at the Marlins. And, Dan, we'll have to get into the Mets because I heard somebody saying how they're going to tromp through the East this year and win the World Series. It's Noah Syndergaard against Jose Urrea. The Angels at the Rangers, it's Garrett Richards against Doug Fister. The Astros again at the Twins, I wonder if that game's going to get played. Justin Verlander against Lance Lynn. The Padres are at the Rockies, Clayton Richards against John Gray. And the night wraps up with the Diamondbacks against the Giants, and Zach Godley against Derek Holland. I was trying to remember who I was listening to, Dan, but the Mets are 7-1, and now they're it. Everybody loves the Mets again, Dan. All their pitchers are healthy, and they're going all the way, right? You're going to change your pick and go with the Mets?
Well, don't they have to get through the Braves? Aren't they for real now, too?
The Braves? No, it was supposed to be the Phillies this year. The Phillies were supposed to be the Braves were the surprise team. The Phillies were supposed to be the team that was making the increased jump, and that didn't happen out of the gate. So
I mean, they definitely had some key wins over the Nats this weekend, but you know, I don't even, for this stake is why I don't even look at the standings. You know, I, of course, when you look at, you know, when you look at the matchups, you know, like today, it's the Mets versus whoever you said they're up against. It'll have the Mets 7-1 against, you know, whoever. But I don't even bother looking at the standings, because I don't, you know, we're not going to play that if the season ended today scenario, because it's really not worth it. It's way too early. A lot's going to change. I mean, we've seen teams, you know, a couple years back when Chris Sale was still with the White Sox, they were hands down the best team in American League in April. No one still went out to their games, but hands down the best team in April. Was that, what year is this, 18, 17, in 2016? And where did they finish? They didn't get in the playoffs. So, you know, fortunately for them, the Mets were stinking that year and somebody else was. But, you know, I mean, I'm not putting a whole lot into it. I think it's more about just, well, you got to wait, obviously, but making sure your players are playing well.
Yeah, they decided today that the Mets are it, you know, because they're 7-1 and they're going to run away with the division. The Braves are the surprise team, but they don't expect them to hang on long. The Nationals are 4-5, so they're a disappointment. Nobody knows what's going on with the Phillies because everybody thought they'd be better than what they were at 3-5, so it's Gabe Kapler's fault. And then the Marlins, of course, are the joke of baseball, so they don't count at 3-6. So
yeah. Even though they took,
so yeah, that was the division rundown today. So, you know, it's kind of like writing off the 3-6 Dodgers because Kershaw hasn't gotten a win yet. You know, I definitely think we should do that, don't you? Because they're 3-6 after 9 games. So
yeah, I mean, that means the Padres should be in first, right?
You know, actually, I think it's the Diamondbacks are off to a good start there. The Padres are actually the only team worse than the Dodgers in that division at 2-8. So there you go.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, at least this year they didn't start off against the Giants or the Dodgers and, you know, lose 3 games by 40 points combined. Or whatever that history-making bad baseball. You just need bad news bears. You know, that happened last year and the years previous. So at least they have 2 wins. But, you know, and, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, it would be cool to see the Mets kind of bounce back. You know, they've got a pretty solid outfield. You need, obviously, you need Jay Bruce and Yonis to stay healthy all season. Aside for those two, that pitching needs to stay healthy all season. I mean, 2015, they were the team. You know, they were the team that took the Cubs out. Not that I don't think the Cubs were really ready for the World Series that year, but you know, they were a monster of a team. And then, you know, the 16, and then, you know, last year we didn't even really talk about them. But you know, 16, I think we both expected them to come back. You know, you went with Batman, or the Dark Knight, and your fantasy draft, and talk about blowing up in your face. I mean, you know, I blew up in your face, but it's not like I'm rubbing it in, because I thought, you know, you would have had a kick-ass pitcher, and it didn't turn out. So, I mean, 7-1, but is this pitching for real? Is it back to that 2015 form? You know, a lot can change in 3 seasons.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, obviously the main key is we're not going to believe anything with them until they stay healthy. You know, I mean, like, you know, this is a team, you know, this is a lot like the Ohtani thing. Here you go, Dan. I'll give you
Thanks,
this
Dan.
One while we were on Ohtani. I was clicking through some stuff, and there's an article on Yahoo Sports that says Shohei Ohtani is now the AL MVP favorite. We're 10 games into the season. He's made 2 starts. He's got, what, 3 or 6 games worth of at-bats, and he's now the favorite to win the MVP over his teammate, who we all know they're giving it to regardless. You know, that's just kind of how stupidity works. You know, they go through these things, and it's just kind of like,
what are you, you know, what are you thinking here? I mean, I get it. You want to get excited when your favorite team is doing well. You know, if you're a Met fan or a Red Sox fan, you know, or a Diamondback fan. I mean, I'm sure my buddy Rory is all excited because the Diamondbacks are 7-2. You know, but it's just so early. You know, you can't get that far out on that ledge to where you just can't get yourself back. You know, and I don't understand why you get that far carried away. You know, and I don't know if it's just the fan in you, or, you know, you can't control your emotions, or however you want to look at it. It's just kind of like, really, this is, you know, this is where you're gonna go with this. But I mean, you know, who, you know, maybe the Mets pitchers stay healthy and they do go back to a World Series. Great. But, you know, just because you said it 9 games in doesn't make you right. It made you lucky. You know, I mean, especially with the history of injuries that these guys have. I mean, you know, they all went down at some point in time last year with an injury and missed starts. Even the top ones, you know, Syndergaard and DeGrom. So, you know, you just, you know, I'm, you know, what did my mother always used to tell me? You know, you can't get the cart ahead of the horse. And that's kind of the situation we're in here. You know, they're just really, really nuts and out of control with some of this stuff. And I mean, you know, like you get to the Red Sox again, they're 8-1. It's a fantastic start. You know, who they just beat Tampa Bay. Yeah. How many of you guys had Tampa Bay going to the playoffs? All of you? Okay, good. Then it was an important series for them to win. It's not so much that it was important for them to win. They should have won, and they did. You know, that's kind of the way it works. You have to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. You know, you can't go, you know, whatever it works out to them. You know, I think they play 19 times. You know, you can't go 8-11 against the Tampa Bay Rays if you're the Boston Red Sox and you want to contend. You know, of course, now they have to deal with the fact that they're going to miss Xander Bogaerts for a couple weeks. You know, that's going to be a big deal. I mean, he was off to a fantastic start. And he's going to be very difficult to replace. You know, luckily they did decide to re-sign Eduardo Nunez. You know, between him and Brock Holt, they should be able to relieve some of the you know, the pressure there of replacing him. You know, of course, it's going to be a little difficult without Dustin Pedroia being back. You know, that could be a gigantic help as well if he was to return. And I don't know how far off we are from seeing him, you know, but you kind of, you know, you putz around in that division a little bit. And, you know, the Yankees are 5-5, you know, they're scuffling a little bit. And now, you know, CeCe's going to miss some time. So, you know, but again, it's, you know, we're 9-10 games in. We can't be, you know, we can't be handing out awards here. You know, I mean, it just, you know, unfortunately, it just doesn't work like that. I mean, you have weekly awards, you know, like I have Dan handing out weekly awards, and baseball hands them out just like all the other sports do. You know, I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, they like to do. But, you know, I mean, yeah, to say the, you know, the Mets are the, you know, going to the World Series, or this guy who just wrote that Shohei Ohtani's now the favorite to win the American League MVP. You know, why? You bumped them there after 9 games, and then he had one good start, so now he's the favorite to win the MVP? You know, can we play the rest of the season? You know, I mean, obviously there's some other guys in the American League who got off to really good starts too, but, you know, we're enthralled with the fact that he's able to hit and pitch, and, you know, let's let it play out before we start handing out the hardware in April is all I'm saying. You know?
Yeah. The one thing, what's exciting about Ohtani is that obviously, like you mentioned, the pitching and the hitting, for me, I want to see him succeed because I want Major League Baseball. And I know the sabermetric people won't you know, and I'm surprised he's lasted or was even, you know, hyped up sabermetrically because, you know, he shouldn't be doing both. But I want to see him succeed because I want, you know, it's not that I think the pitcher batting should be, you know, taken super serious. But, I mean, at some point you've either got to determine, well, the pitchers aren't going to bat at all or they are. And, you know, with the game the way it is now, I mean, I'm not saying these guys need to be in the cage every single day, but why aren't they in the cage? Why aren't they practicing? You know, why aren't they doing, you know, practicing bunting or just doing any of that stuff? You know, one of the things that, and I'll beat this to death, and I wonder if A-Rod will be back next season because, you know, he's going to – I'm surprised he hasn't. And, you know, I'm not a – I don't immediately go to Twitter for reactions because I could give a crap what a lot of the stuff is. But, you know, one of the things that A-Rod, you know, he continuously brings up, like, well, you know, there was a pitching change or some kind of move made. And he's like, well, you know, this happened because this guy knows his players. It wasn't all, you know, it was actually last night when the Mets coach, now I can't even think of his name, decided to walk the bases loaded, you know. And, you know, he even mentioned sabermetrically, this isn't the right thing to do, or I mean, maybe not those words, but he brought out there that this is a coach that knows his players and he knows kind of has a feel for the game as opposed to just looking at a bunch of numbers. And that's what he did. And I'm totally rambling on, but I don't know if it was he that said it, but someone else mentioned the fact that one of the games I was watching over the weekend that, you know, such and such pitcher was up and he was a basketball player. And he, you know, went into the fact that, you know, some of the best baseball players when they were growing up, especially in the high school and college, were multi-sport players. Because it, you know, it gets them out of the baseball realm so that they're not just in baseball 24/7. And not only that, it gives them that athleticism to where they're not, they might be doing something different than just throwing a pitch down the plate. You know, if that's all you know how to do, at some point you either should be super great at it, but you need that versatility. Your mind needs to expand. You can't just focus on one thing for your entire life. So I don't know. I know you kind of lean towards that too, that these kids shouldn't just play one sport. And the best athletes don't just do one thing all the time.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely, you know, I definitely believe in that. You know, I mean, you get so focused as a, you know, as a parent, you know, my kid is going to be the next this or that, that
Shohei Ohtani.
You kind of miss out on the fact, yeah, you know, you kind of miss out on the fact that, well, they're a kid and, you know, they just don't need to do this sport 24/7, 7 days a week. You know, you have to kind of let them, you know, grow up and do their thing, you know. I mean, because obviously, you know, besides the fact that you could possibly force them to regret it, you know, it's just like, you know, just, you know, I couldn't imagine doing one thing the entire, you know, time. You know, how boring would that get? So
when I had the cousin who was soccer. And when he was in college, and, you know, this is actually pretty stupid, to be honest with you. But, you know, he's not the sharpest crayon in the box. He got a scholarship to college to play soccer. But at that time, his mom decided to go back and get her master's. And feeling a little ballsy, no pun intended, he decided to just quit soccer, quit school, and go work in a steel factory. Instead. And, you know, part of it was the fact that he was sick of soccer, you know, 20 years of it. And that was it though. There was no baseball. There was no football. There was no wrestling. There was no volleyball. There was no, you know, luge. Not that we do that or, you know,
I would
shuffleboard or
we had that.
There was no curling, you know what I mean? But he had no other option. He was only allowed to play soccer and that was it. Yeah, no, nothing else to do. you know, I don't even know if he played video games. He only played soccer. So we kind of teased him when he got his soccer ball tattoo on him.
Yeah, I coached Little League for a long time, and we had a kid come through who was a really good pitcher, and his parents decided that that was going to be it for him. So he only played baseball. You know, he got a college scholarship. He actually got drafted, but then blew mm-hmm. his arm out and never got the opportunity to pitch in the majors, you know, in the minors. Never got a chance to play professional baseball at all, just because, you know, it all went away there. So, you know, he spent all that time being a baseball player for, you know, in reality, nothing, something he never got to do. You know, he never got to yeah. experience anything else and, you know, and any of that other stuff. It was just kind of like, this is what you're going to do. That's it. You're going to be a baseball player. And it just, you know, here you go. Well, now my arm is done. And, you know, Tommy John didn't even help. You know, he had Tommy John, and it just never, the fastball never came back. You know, the breaking stuff wasn't there. It was just, it was over. So.
And, you know, and I guess the point to my whole rambling was, I would like to see pitchers actually hit the ones that, you know, and I know out of five-man rotation, you're not going to get all five, you know, you're not going to get five great hitters. But to me, it just sucks that, especially in the National League, I mean, it basically comes down to Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I know, you know, I've mentioned this before on the air, and I mean, you know, you may have noticed too, you know, back in Little League, or, you know, even going through high school, normally one of the better hitters on the team was the guy who pitched. You know, he was just that all-around athlete. He could hit and pitch, and, you know, a lot of times he played short. You know, so he was the guy on the team. And you just wonder at what point these guys went from being athletes to being exclusively pitchers. And, you know, I'm guessing the teams have a lot to do with that when they just want you to concentrate on pitching. And, you know, it's like, oh, just go pitch, you know, don't worry about anything else. But, you know, you would think if you had a little pride in what you do, you would still want to be a quality hitter. So
it all starts in the minor leagues. I mean, the South Bend Cubbies are single-A affiliate. And, you know, we experienced that seeing Kyle Schwarber DH for the Kane County Cougars.
Yeah, they don't hit.
And not,
yeah, they don't hit minors anymore. So,
you know, but before we run out, I didn't know how much of what you caught. I was able this today on my lunch to go through and watch everything, the recaps. But one of the best ones of the day, and I guess it's fitting we kind of saved it for last, was the coach of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Torrey something, get ejected. You know, and I love it because there was no, you know, Mike Matheny said that supposedly there's a mic, you know, a crowd mic that picked up what Torrey had said. But in his arguments with the umpire that got him ejected in the second inning only, off of one really bad pitch and one borderline. And I'm, you know, he basically was arguing with the umpire, and in his argument he pointed at Yadier Molina, and he, and in his post game conference, he said that he was in a roundabout way complimenting Yadier, but I'm sure the tone and the way he said it and the pointing of the fingers pretty much went along the lines of, you're just giving him pitches because he's Yadier Molina, you know, in kind of a crybaby sense. Because David Peralta had got called on a third strike, which really should have been ball four because it was almost at the ankles. And, you know, later on, and that was in the second inning, it was now A.J. Pollock who got called for a third strike. But that one was, I mean, it was just below the knee. So I would, you know, you can kind of go either way with that one. But it, you know, he almost, I guess he was alluding to the fact that they're in St. Louis and you're going to give them the call, kind of like an NBA thing. So I wanted to get your take on it, what you thought, and you know, the Diamondback announcers were surprised that the ump didn't throw out Yadi here after pushing the umpire into Torrey.
Yeah, the highlight unthought of it, I asked the exact same question. You know, it was, you know, why didn't Yadier get tossed and, you know, that whole thing. And like, they were like, well, you know, he'll probably get fined for that. So, I would love to know what Lovello actually said. You know, we're never going to find out.
No.
You know, he made up, I heard his press conference and he made up some kind of BS. You know, I know he was trying to say something and I wasn't buying it. He was kind of hemming and hawing through the interview and it was just like, yeah, okay, I just don't buy whatever you're saying. And yeah, I think it was more along the lines of what you said. You know, he got, you know, he was like, you're only giving him calls because he's Yadier. You know, and I really think that's kind of how it played out. And, you know, it was just like, okay, you know, here you go. So, but yeah, it, you know, because I mean, I don't remember seeing Molina go off like that before. Do you?
No. And I mean, he's been in fights, I know, but I've never seen him just go from 0 to 150 in like 2 seconds. And the fact that, you know, it was such, you know, and that's one of the things that, you know, kind of makes me lean more towards Molina's side, especially being a Cubs fan where we're supposed to hate the Cardinals, you know. Was the fact that the umpire really got into it, you know, got in more so of, you know, getting in the way of Molina just knocking the hell out of Lovello. I mean,
yeah,
that would have been worth it just alone. But I mean, you know, at the same time, it also makes you wonder, what did he really say? Because what he said was definitely, oh, it was more of a compliment. You know, you're lucky that I'm not, you want, I'd probably get kicked out because you guys would cry about me in there. You know, I would have called him out on it. I go, so basically your comments make people want to beat you up. Why don't you compliment me? You know, and something like that, just to see what he would say. Because, you know, that's a full of crap kind of thing. And I know you've got to avoid all that. And, you know, some of this stuff with baseball, it's going to stay, quote, in the fraternity. And, you know, they'll hash it out some other day, some other time. But at the same time, it was, to me, what I saw was, okay, it was the second inning, and it was the first one was a bad call. That was a bad call. The second one, it was a bad call, but it was definitely borderline. It was definitely more of a ball than anywhere near a strike. But I don't think at that point in the second inning that you're going out there and going to the level that he went to. I think it was way too early for that. You know, at that point, the talk should have happened, you know, yada out of it and pull the umpire aside and maybe had more of a conversation as opposed to blowing up with him. But, you know, for him and some of the Diamondbacks, it was about him protecting his players and backing them off.
Yeah, you know how that goes. So, but all right, well, the music means that Dan and I are going to head out of here, but we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. But while we're away, get on over to sportstimeradio.com, catch up on what's going on over there, link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, but don't forget about that Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter if you'd like. We're cool with that. As always, a big thanks for listening live, but don't forget, you can go over to tunein.com anytime you want and listen to the podcast there.
sportstimeradio.com.